Hey, it's Ben Bailey Smith.
And it's me, Nomoma Taxis, with you.
Yeah, and we are getting deep into season two of Shrink the Box, which is incredibly exciting. The correspondence that we've already been getting from you is so plentiful. We're not going to try and squeeze it into the shows themselves. We're going to give it its own breathing space, right? So this is a very special Shrink the Inbox. So we're going to have a look at the theories you sent in, have a look at some of your suggestions for more TV characters to put into therapy, and try and dig into some of the things we haven't had time to talk about in a character episode, because, I mean, we record those things, but really and truly, there's like entire subjects we touch upon that I think.
Yeah, and
we need an extra hour just for that.
Days,
at least
days, yeah, to fit in everything that's in all these TV shows. Yeah, can we just say thank you to everyone who's been writing in?
Mm-hmm.
And coming up, then we're going to cover why one emailer thinks Mark Corrigan from the Peep Show is this generation's biggest villain. We'll look at spies and why they'd be fascinating to cover. And we also have a couple of emails asking us to cover coming of age comedy. So that's like Broad City and Girls. Both good shows. So let's get to it. Welcome to Shrink the Inbox.
All right, first up, we have Charlotte in London who says, hey, Ben and Nomoma. First and foremost, can I just say I'm so excited to see Nomoma on this podcast. As an avid Six Music listener, it'll be nice to hear a friendly and familiar voice. Yeah, bring your fans.
I'm here.
Bring your fans with you, Nomoma. It makes sense. Charlotte says, I've just been rewatching Peep Show for the 15th time or thereabouts, and I'd love to see Mark Corrigan covered in Shrink the Box. He's this generation's biggest underground villain.
No.
Never has someone been so manipulative. He constantly lies to get what he wants. I think the guise of the normal middle-class white male is played perfectly alongside the fact that he is inherently evil. I would love to hear everything he would let slip in therapy. So I hope we get to see Peep Show covered in the next season. I need to know someone agrees with me on Mark being the absolute worst. And she's put worst in capitals.
Yeah, it's big.
With exclamation marks. This says, cheers, Charlotte from London.
Mark Corrigan in therapy. Discuss. What do you think, Ben?
I definitely know what she's getting at. To think of someone as the absolute worst or the ultimate villain because they lie and manipulate in the way Mark does. I wouldn't want to call him evil because it all comes from a place of his own inadequacy.
And desperation.
And fear and desperation. I don't think he wants to be evil. I don't think he's a monster.
Well,
but he behaves like a monster.
Well, some of the outcomes you could read as manipulation, more calculated.
I mean,
way.
Sometimes it's explicit, and he'll admit it himself to in the voiceovers that you hear or the narrations.
Well, that's what's brilliant about Peep Show, isn't it? Because you're kind of getting an inside track on some of the voices that we don't often hear in everyday life that are happening for people whilst they're going through, you know, whatever we're seeing or we're meeting them.
Yeah, I mean, how many times do you hear the voice in one of the characters' heads in Peep Show saying, is this a good idea? It doesn't feel like a good idea. Doesn't feel
feels
right.
Feels like that belongs to Jeremy rather than Mark, though.
Maybe I should do this. Yeah, that maybe is
maybe
more
I should
Jez.
Stop right now.
Yeah, Jeremy would be like, yeah, it's definitely a good idea.
So, Charlotte, you've got us on a good kind of trajectory, I think.
Yeah, Peep Show, there's a lot of depth in Peep Show, man. For me, it's still the funniest sitcom, I think, ever in terms of just the guttural reactions it gets from me. Like, I'll laugh on my own watching
out
it.
Out loud.
Yeah. That's so rare for me. And you know, Jesse Armstrong is one of the writers who's
Sam
also,
Bain,
you know, creator of Succession. To have that level of writing, I think, always helps in terms of who we're going to deconstruct. But yeah, maybe him and Jeremy getting together for couples counselling. who knows? We could find out all sorts of things about their own.
Oh, a bit interesting.
Do you ever do couples now?
No. I would like to do a bit of further training towards couples therapy.
Really?
But I'm fascinated in the way in which we communicate and relate. And obviously, people often come to therapy and they'll say, and my partner does this. And you kind of get the feeling that actually that they'd like their other half to be in therapy. So you might get Jeremy coming to therapy to sort of, in a funny way, get Mark into therapy. And the thing to do there is to really think with people about what's happening for them in that moment. Because obviously it's very stark for them, how they're feeling on the receiving end of this person. So it'd be good to peel back the layers for both of them. I mean, the kind of therapy I practice is one-to-one, face-to-face, and obviously we're looking at a client's way of being in the world. But I think that's doubly interesting when we think that we're all relating to one another, bringing our own kind of wounds and various experiences and ways of being in the world. And that only gets more complex the bigger the group. It'd be great to talk to the writers behind the characters, like you say as well, Jesse Armstrong and Sam Bain, to see if there are any similarities in their relationship that come through that we then see in Mark and Jez.
So it's really interesting what you said. That really struck me, that thing about what you bring to other people. You know, if you're carrying something unresolved that maybe makes you anxious, or it's making you nervous, or it's making you angry, or, you know, fearful, you might bring that to a complete stranger at some point in your day. Most of the time, it's like the people closest to you, right? They get the brunt of your bullshit.
And I wonder about the apology there, because sometimes it doesn't come, does it? It would be interesting to undo the relationship, or untangle with Jeremy and Mark what happens for them and how they actually might help or hinder each other. So I guess that's what I mean about bringing, because obviously we're all projections and our interjections, and that only becomes more complex when you're talking about in a partnership. Because in a one-to-one therapy, you're really working with someone about their way of being in the world. But of course, their way of being in the world then goes out and meets other people's way of being in the world. So then it becomes an infinitely more complicated picture.
You got one from Georgina, right?
I have.
Georgina?
Yeah, Georgina in Norfolk, suggesting the night manager.
Oh, yeah. Is that the Hiddleston?
Hiddleston, yeah. So, dear Team Shrink, says Georgina, loving the podcast, such a great listen. Please keep them coming. We will do our best. She would like to suggest that we do a deep dive on the night manager, saying, I read the book, which is brilliant.
Is that Le Carré?
Spot on, Ben. And Georgina was worried the TV adaptation would spoil it and let her down. How wrong she was to be concerned. Watched it three times since the BBC series came out in 2016. Wow. Cast is exceptional. You're right, Tom Hiddleston, Hugh Laurie, obviously, Olivia Colman, Elizabeth Debicki, Tom Hollander, David Harewood. I mean, does it get any better? She's right. The cast is a strong cast, isn't it? It would be cool, says Georgina, to see Elizabeth Debicki's character, Jed or Hugh Laurie, as Richard Onslow, be analysed. This is a particularly timely one, as it's just been announced they're going to make another series too. And I'm so excited. All the best, says Georgina in Norfolk. Good info, Georgina.
Because we're going to do Slow Horses, right? Which is also based on a spy thread. I'm thinking particularly spies. Tell you what, I've read almost all of the Slow Horses. And Mick Herron is definitely, you can see that line, you can link that line between Le Carré and him.
That lineage.
But he's a shed load funnier than Le Carré, I'll tell you that much.
The UK has a good pedigree of spy thrillers, obviously, but why do you think we get spy thrillers so right, particularly in the UK?
There's something particular about the British experience in terms of like how much time we spend in our own heads. You know, when you go to different countries and you realise they're much quicker at not necessarily confrontation, but like speaking with strangers, being direct, being a bit more gregarious. With Brits, we're very like, oh, shall I not? So I think we find it fascinating, the idea of people who go out into the world in disguise, you know, to play a completely different role and find their confidence that way. You know, there's a part of every Brit that thinks, I could probably be a spy. Have you ever had someone in your life where you're like, are they a spy? Have you ever had that?
Yeah.
I've had that. Not with someone close to me, but like a friend of a friend noticed like little patterns. Like,
there are two. And one was certainly in contact and then not contact.
Yeah.
And you're like, could you? Are you?
And you just never know. I just love
that. Well, we're never going to know.
Never know.
And of course, that leads us on to double lives.
Yes.
Which?
And shadow lives and where truth and fiction start and finish.
That's the end of my spy dream, because I can't do that.
No, I mean that
I would be rubbish at trying to lead a double life.
Yeah.
Sorry.
Are you actually in the moment of taxes?
Yes.
Yes.
Sorry. I'm afraid.
Sorry.
I can't take the stress of trying to hide that from you. But I wonder if at some point there are those that lose their sense of self. Definitely. Who they are. And of course, that leads us onto the dreadful and tragic things you might have to witness. And sometimes that would take a toll. We could think of that in terms of dissociation and whether there are experiences in childhood or your upbringing, which means you've had to dissociate to protect yourself. That might lend itself well to becoming a spy in later life. So you might grow, grow into that way of being. It gets easier to cut off from emotional content of life, perhaps. Also, trust, massive one, becomes more fluid, which might have an impact psychologically. And a feeling that the ground might slip away underneath your feet and constant threat everywhere you look. I mean, can you relax as a spy?
No, it's like a constant point, actually. One of Heron's books is specifically about that. So, the main character, River Cartwright, his granddad, the old bastard, in one of the books, without giving anything away, it's because it's maybe the best one of that I've read. He basically is, long retired, but he's constantly on edge. And something happens right at the start of this particular book that proves his point. There is no retirement. That you have to constantly scan back every lie you've ever told, everybody you ever double-crossed, every life and death situation you've been in, and think, is there someone, maybe wasn't even there at the time, maybe someone who was born of that situation that might want me off? Or is there something that I know that's so dangerous that it'd be better if I wasn't around to say it?
Chilling, man.
Yeah. But on the more human level, I suppose, what is fascinating is this idea of I can be effective and confident and get the job done if I'm not me. Do you know what I mean?
And we're back to false self.
And that's a weird place to be, isn't it? Because then you could that's great that you can get the job done. It's great that you're being effective. It's great that you're confident. But what does that mean for the other me?
Well, and the authentic relationships that you may or may not be able to forge. And what does that mean for kind of relating at depth, really, which we know ultimately, and allowing yourself a certain level of vulnerability? Or should we get stuck into spies?
Yeah, can definitely feel a spy special coming on. All right, here's a show created by Ilana Glazer and Abby Jacobson, who are best friends on and off the screen. Can you guess it? This is coming from Beth from London, who says, "Hey, Ben and Amon, when I watched Broad City in my early 20s, I finally felt like I was seeing my life depicted on screen. Abby and Ilana are chaotic, messy, but most of all fun. Their friendship is intense and definitely codependent. I've had a few friendships like this. There's so much culture exploring how romantic relationships shape you in your 20s. Broad City explores how formative these friendships are and how intense they can be in that stage of life when you're trying to figure out who you are and what you want. And with that in mind, I'd love you to look at not one character, but two, in order to shed light on how and why these kinds of dynamics can develop. Thanks from Beth in London." Have you seen Broad City?
Do you know, I hadn't until I'd seen Beth's email, and I have now. It totally drew me in.
Yeah, my sister showed me it when it first came out, so I wouldn't have known about it at all if it wasn't for her. But I liked it straight away. I think I'd just done a gig in Montreal with Hannibal Buress, the black guy, sort of kind of very deadpan with the glasses.
Yeah.
And when he popped up in it as well, I was like, oh, right. Yeah. I mean, I was already sold.
So it was bigger stateside. Yeah. It's Paper Kite is the production company.
Yeah.
Amy Poehler.
Who you'll know from Parks and Recreation, Blades of Glory. She was like a SNL staple. She knows funny, basically.
She's kind of got an all-female staff. She's really championing women in a very male industry. And I went and checked out a whole load of Broad City content and behind the scenes after Beth got in touch with us.
You got deep. You went deep into the weeds.
Absolutely. And the way that they kind of reached out to Amy and said, making the show, do you fancy it? And
she came. Is that what happened? I didn't know that. Okay.
And actually, have we talked about covering Parks and Recreation?
I don't think it's been mentioned.
Aubrey Plaza's character is often talked about for her apathetic and deadpan personality. So I think there's something we could definitely unpack there.
Yeah, I've not seen that. So I'll be behind you on that one. Have we got any other ideas for good female leads? I think, trying to wade through, you know, all the suggestions, and then also the things that me and you think are kind of worth doing. And then also on top of that, thinking, are we doing a good cross section of humanity? Have we got enough women? Have we got enough black characters? Have we got enough gay or you know, LGBTQ characters? Have we got enough disabled characters? And it's like we're at the whim of what's being made.
Yeah.
And then even if that the lead character is a number of, you know, I don't know,
different things,
yeah, yeah, tied into one. If the show and the writing's bad, then it's not
an
much
opportunity
we can do
to go. And as we've said before to each other, maybe not here, you need the depth of character.
Yeah.
So as much as a show might be great, if they're not covering, I mean, there's one show that we've talked about loads. Is that Atlanta?
Atlanta.
Where each of the characters might not necessarily be deep enough in itself, but the show.
Yeah. So like if you're a Shrink fan, like if you're a Shrink the Box fan, imagine us doing Urn. Is there like loads to get dig into? Maybe, maybe not. I'm still as yet unconvinced. However, got the weird situation with that being like, as a show, it's one of the deepest things I've ever watched. And I feel like the character to unpick in Atlanta is the Black American experience.
Is the
which
show.
Is like a big character.
Well, I mean, what a great place for us to start. So I don't think we should shy away from that.
Okay,
but it
well
would
then
be
I will bring the entire Black American experience to your office.
To my okay, how long have you got?
Are you ready? On the, session one.
Back to your original question, which was female-led cast,
yes,
and
sorry,
kind
yeah,
of no,
yeah,
getting
yeah,
in depth.
Some good
so
ideas.
We'll just go down that road of intersectionality for Caitlin in Manchester gives us a brilliant example of another story in production with women at the heart of it, written by Lena Dunham.
Yep,
saying that right.
Writer. This is Girls.
Yeah, this is Girls.
Okay.
So Caitlin says, I hated the characters when I first watched Girls as a teenager. I thought they were entitled and annoying and found it hard to watch. Now in my late 20s, I still feel all those things. Only now I have a lot more compassion for how messy and self-involved you can be when you're trying to become a person. I was definitely no angel, says Caitlin. With that in mind, I'd love for you to do an episode looking at Dunham's character, Hannah. Complex, messy, annoying, lovable. She's such a meaty character. I'd love to know what you think. Is from Caitlin in Manchester.
I love that. You know,
I hated it.
She thought she hated all the characters. And she came back in her late 20s. And you know what? I still hated them.
Still hated the characters.
It reminds me of, is it Harry the Horse in Guys and Dolls? Where they're in the... Nathan Detroit manages to get them all in the mission, all the gangsters.
You're going to have to explain. It's not my area of expertise.
Oh, it's great.
Musical theatre.
He convinces all these gangsters to come to the Samaritans mission, you know, and speak up, you know, just try and show a bit of vulnerability. Like, who wants to speak from the heart, you know? And this big gangster gets up and he's like, because when you first invited me to come to the mission, I didn't want to be here. But now that I'm here, I still wish it.
Perfect. So, Caitlin, thank you for writing that email along those lines. And I think you're right. I think what about getting into, you know, the depth of those characters and the cultural moment, actually, that it created in 2012. I think it's interesting.
Is that how long ago it was?
Yeah.
That's nuts. Okay.
A prodigious young female talent that it took to get something like that off the ground. A little bit like we were talking about with The Morning Show, the change in a generation.
Yeah.
Whether we've spoken about The Morning Show or not by the time this goes
out.
Oh,
yeah, that's
a
good point. Who knows?
And again, written from her own voice, a bit like we were talking about Broad City, written from their own voices.
Mm. Mm, yeah, and interesting that this show introduced Adam Driver.
Oh, was it Girls? I'd
completely forgotten.
Yeah,
that,
me
too.
Do you know, Girls passed me by that first time. I think
Lena's character, he was the boyfriend.
Yeah. Okay, yeah. I was having lovable child number two. So I had less time for Girls and more time for...
Yeah, isn't it funny when you see years, like you're like, yeah, there's these cultural phenomena and you're like, how did this pass me by? And then you see the year and you're like, oh yeah, no, I was...
I know why.
I was out of the game.
Yeah, I was struggling to sleep.
Yes. Yeah. Okay, so we're going to take a quick break. And after that, we're going to be looking through more of your emails, discussing Gilmore Girls, Shogun, Severance. So we'll see you after the ads, unless you very wisely, I must say, have chosen to subscribe to the Take channel. In which case, thank you so much. And we'll be back right after this little bit of Lena and Adam in action.
I respect your right to see and do whoever you want, And I don't even want a boyfriend, so...
What do you want?
I just want someone who wants to hang out all the time and thinks I'm the best person in the world and wants to have sex with only me. And it makes me feel very stupid to tell you this because it makes me sound like a girl who wants to, like, go to brunch. And I really don't want to go to brunch, and I don't want you to, like, sit on the couch while I shop or, like, even meet my friends. I don't even want that, okay? But I also don't want to share a sex partner with a girl who seems to have asked for a picture of your...
Okay, we are back. Namone, you got an email there for us?
I have. We've got Eva who's gotten in touch. Mm-hmm. Who said, I only just discovered Shrink the Box, shame on me, but it's the perfect combination, telly and psychoanalysis. She says, my partner's ever so grateful that I stopped pestering him with my theories and instead I've turned to you as experts. I'm currently rewatching Gilmore Girls. Want to have a lot of ironing to do. Despite being a bit uneven in quality, says Eva, I think the show captures some realistic aspects of mother-daughter, granddaughter relationship. Oh, that'd be good. That would be good.
My daughters love this show. I've never
seen it. Do you know, Eva says it gives me goosebumps having grown up with a controlling mum and rebellious, much older sister. Thanks and keep up the good work. You're doing great.
Yeah, and that's all I know about Gilmore Girls.
But it stays at the top of the Netflix viewing charts. It's really popular.
Yeah, there's something really nuanced about watching the mother-daughter relationship on screen, I guess. I've never seen it, as I say during the email.
You and I need to do our Gilmore Girls homework before we approach this one.
Yeah, big time.
Let's do it.
Now, I know that the mum names her daughter after herself. That's all I know about it. And I like that the second I heard it.
So I think...
So she's got a junior, which is something that only men are allowed to do.
Yeah. So Eva's onto something. We need to cover this. Yeah. And now, moving on to an email that's based around a world that brings patriarchy and duty into sharp focus. Ben, you know how I love this. Mm-hmm. Inspired by the 80s program it's based around, someone has emailed us about the Shogun remake on Disney Plus.
Heath in Brighton says, hello, Ben and Namone. Just wanted to say what a brilliant addition Namone is to Shrink Team. Listen, absolutely incredible. It's been emotional. And continues to be.
Already?
Yeah. Insightful, intelligent, and yet totally down to earth. And I want to hear more about her superpowers. Same. Quick suggestion. John Blackthorne in the Disney Plus adaptation of Shogun is excellent. People keep telling me to watch that show.
You've got to get on Shogun. Yeah. I definitely want to do Shogun on the show.
Although Shogun's protagonist is loosely based on the life of a 17th century pilot navigator called William Adams, who was the first person to reach Japan. So this might break the shrink rule of analysing real people. I think it'd be all right. I think it'd be all right with that. It must have been amazing for Adams, now Blackthorne, to be surrounded by a culture he knew nothing about, speaking to everyone in his second language, Portuguese, and under the constant threat of death. He does, however, have a brilliant and extensive armory of swear words to get him through. Anyway, probably too new for your show, but maybe something to chew on for the future. Thank you for an ace podcast, Heath. I don't know if it's too new, if it's good enough.
We're on it.
Yeah.
I'm enthralled by it, so definitely let's get... I'm thinking America.
I have to watch
Lead character, you've got to get on it, Ben.
Oh, man, there's not enough hours in the day, but I will get there. You got one there?
Yes, I do. Okay, this is a long one, Ben. Are you sitting comfortably?
I am, actually.
Dave from Vancouver in Canada says, I wrote to you once before near the beginning of your show and moved to write again today because I just finished watching season 2 of White Lotus. One of my main reasons for watching this show was because I wanted to be able to listen to the Tanya McCoyd episode, which I did less than 50 minutes after the final episode was over. I didn't love the show as much as you seem to have done, but I was constantly fascinated with it enough that I had to finish it. Mm. Before listening to your episode on Tanya, I don't believe I'd really thought that much about attachment theory. I'd heard you mention it before, but it really piqued my interest this time because your talk of Tanya and her preoccupied attachment. Clearly, this is the category I belong to. Not the same extent as Tanya, of course, but I was fascinated by your discussion and went on to read more about it, and I want to continue to learn about it. Mm. My two favourite shows of the year have both been from Apple TV+. They are Severance and Silo. Silo, how every character thinks they're doing the most important job in Silo, is so fascinating to me. Rings true in my life as well. Oh, that is an interesting road we could go down, Ben.
Yeah.
Severance, just the psychology of why someone would decide to voluntarily commit to working in a place where they are completely removed from their real life is so fascinating. So thanks very much for doing the excellent podcast. Keep up the great work, Dave.
I mean, they both sound like fascinating subjects. Two programs would be great to cover, I think. Shrink the Box. Now, what do we have in store next week?
This is the sort of show where everyone says, you have to watch this. It's only had two seasons, and this year it cleaned up at the Grammys.
We need them to approve all of our new business paperwork, and then they'll send a rep, and that rep will sign off on another rep who will come and look at stuff and then sign off on a different rep.
How many reps is that?
Many. A lot of reps, yeah. But it's gonna be okay, you know? All we have to do is just stay calm and make sure...
Shut up!
Sydney!
What was that?
I fell through a wall. Good morning.
Damn, you got strong.
What kind of insurance coverage do we have for people falling through the wall?
Really good kind, where you pray they don't.
No!
Yeah, it's The Bear.
That is...
Season 2. I've actually not seen it yet.
Oh, Ben.
I've seen the first series, so I need to get on it right now. We did Call Me before, but we're actually going to do season 2, right?
Yeah, yeah.
So who are we going to focus on?
We are going to cover Sydney.
Yes. All right.
Season 2 this time. Sydney is such a brilliant character. Loads going on, and so many of you have asked us to do a whole episode on her.
Sydney's played by Ayo Adebiri, who actually started out as a stand-up,
just like me.
And she is incredibly funny. Have you seen Theatre Camp?
No, I need to watch that.
Oh, get on that. Watch it with the kids as well. It's a good family movie. I think it's Disney.
Yeah.
Oh, it's so funny. And she plays this absolutely useless youth worker. She's clearly got no interest in working with kids, doesn't know anything about drama or theatre.
Theatre Camp.
And she's just winging it in that way you used to when you were young and just like lied on your CV. She's really, really funny. And apparently she studied these cookbooks by Matty Matheson. He plays the handyman Fack in the series.
In the series.
And she took classes at the Institute of Culinary Education in Pasadena to prepare for her role. So that's where our similarities end. She's clearly taking it very seriously with the research.
Can you cook, Ben?
I can cook two dishes really well without a recipe. I can cook with a recipe, of course. Yeah. You know, with a Gusto or a HelloFresh or something. But just like blind,
yeah,
I can make an unbelievable spag bol and ackee and saltfish, coconut rice and peas and fried dumplings.
Right, I'm in.
Fried plantain, yeah. That's my speciality.
So Fack is a cook. I mean, the handyman Fack.
Yeah, I never knew he was a cook in real
life. No, I didn't know Matty Matheson was in it. That's amazing.
Yeah, it's a nice little Easter egg for food lovers.
Oh.
It does make you hungry, this show. I remember that from the first. Do you remember the donuts in the first one? Yes. That guy was like a genius.
Trying to perfect the donuts and then you start salivating.
Yeah. Yeah, they became a big plot point in the first series as well, donuts.
There is a lot to cover. We will look at why Sydney thrives on this high-octane lifestyle. What's powering her? Is it the grief of her mother dying or trying to prove something to her father, who we see much more in season 2? Sydney's low self-esteem, how she overcomes it, and of course, the possible codependent relationship with Carmi and Sydney. Because, of course, there's a kind of frisson between them-ish.
Kind of. I mean, I haven't seen season 2 yet. I can't wait. But in season 1, it felt like it began with this kind of mutual respect.
Mm.
Do you know what I mean? They both seem to have they seem to be deeper thinkers.
Yeah.
And they seem to have more respect for this concept, this idea of progressing this business. And they say they had a wavelength. And then you look at them, they're similar ages, both attractive people.
Well,
As a viewer, you kind of maybe want... Something.
And well, I think Carmi sees a lot of younger him in Sydney.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So it might be.
And he elevates her to boss level almost immediately.
Right, and with good reason.
Yeah, yeah. Oh, man. I actually, that's the first thing I'm going to do now. I'm going to leave here and check out episode.
I have to say, season two, it grows. So
Does it?
Yeah, it's
better than the first, on a par, not as good?
I'd say on a par, if not better.
Oh, wicked. All right, then.
Yeah, and we'd love to keep on hearing from you about which TV fictional TV characters you think we should be covering. So please, when you get a moment, shrinkthebox@sonymusic.com. Theories, characters, anything we've missed, all of the above.
Absolutely. And our usual thanks to the production team, production management, Lily Hambly, assistant producer, Scarlett O'Malley, the studio mix engineer, Josh Gibbs, senior producer, Selena Rehm, and the executive producer, Simon Paul.
Do follow us on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Stitcher, Amazon Music, or wherever you get your podcasts to get new episodes. And if you can, tell everyone you know who can to listen so that we can make some more.
Yeah, and we appreciate your ongoing support. If you want to become an even greater supporter and skip all the ads and get Kermode and Mayo's take also without the ads and all their bonus what? Exclusive content. All you have to do is subscribe to Extra Takes. You can start a free trial right now by clicking try free at the top of the Shrink the Box show page on Apple Podcasts or by visiting extratakes.com.
So should we go off and do our homework?
Yeah, you know...
You've got a lot of...
I know.
I'm gonna
I might have to start Shogun as well because, you know what, I'm sick of being in those conversations.
I know, I've given you... There's a list.
Everybody's talking about it and I haven't seen it.
You better get on it.
I'm getting on it right now. All right, ta-da.
See you soon.